You are listening to a Bible study on Christ in the Old Testament by Pastor Lassman at Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington.
Gracious Father, we thank you for all your many blessings that you bestow upon us, especially the good news of your Son, who in him we have complete and unconditional forgiveness, a new relationship with you, and the hope of a much better world yet to come. As our Lord Jesus himself said, all the scriptures is about him. As we continue this study, open our minds to understand and above all our hearts to accept what you reveal to us. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Psalm, and you're going to recognize some of these passages. Psalm 118, and especially I think I said verses 22 and 23. Psalm 118, it's page 962, if you have your study Bible. 962. Verse 22 and 23. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And let's look up a couple passages. I think you know some of them. Matthew 21, 42. Matthew 21, 42. Let's read the parable of the tenants so you can see the context. In other words, not just the reference, but make sure you get the context here. So let's start with verse 33, Matthew 21, 33. The parable of the tenants. Here, another parable. There was a master of the house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and then went into another country. 34. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. 35. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. 37. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. 38. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Now let's pause there and make sure you get this. This is a parable, and the vineyard is Israel, the nation of Israel. The servants are the prophets. Okay? And since you've been through all these studies, you know, the prophets and God's people never what? Never listened to the prophets. So finally he said, well, I'll send my son. And of course, you know, they also rejected him. And by the way, how often we talk about with the Israelites today and also in the Bible, how we said that the land of Israel has become more important than the Messiah. Well, here you see an example of it in the parable, don't you? In verse 38. But when the tenants, this is the people of Israel, the leaders, saw the son, they said to them, this is the heir. In other words, this is what it's all about, right? So come, let us kill him, and what? And that, and we won't look it up. You've heard it before. That's what Caiaphas and the others said, you know. We've got to kill him, because if we don't, Rome will come and destroy everything, and we'll lose our situation. So they're more concerned about themselves and their position, everything, than about the Messiah and the truth. And so that's what's going on there. So let's keep going on. Verse 41, they said to them, he says, what will he do? Jesus asked them, what will he do? He'll put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him their fruits in due season. Well, let's pause again. That's exactly what happened, right? Right? Because the Jews, not all of them, but most of them what? Rejected the gospel. And then the gospel went where? To the Gentiles. And you can read about that in Romans 9, 10, and 11, especially. That's the lengthiest discourse about the Jews in relationship to the gospel, Romans 9, 10, and 11. And it says, they then will bear fruit. So then, Jesus then in response said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? And he's going to quote Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become what? The cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let's keep going so we get the whole point. Verse 43, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. Remember how we talk about that, about modern day Israel? That's not the kingdom of God. No, evangelicals say that, TV preachers say that. Okay. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you. and given to a people which will produce its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone, meaning him, will be broken into pieces. When it falls on anyone, it will crush him. In other words, everybody on the judgment day will be judged, like I said in the sermon this morning, the relationship to Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived he was speaking about them. 46, and although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. So they would have done their business if it hadn't been for fear of the population. Let's see two more, and then we're going to move on. Acts 4:11. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 4:11. Let's read the content too, because I know the content, context, and you may or may not. So just to help you with that, rather than just looking at it. So let's start at verse 1 of chapter 4. Page 1839 in your study Bible. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. This is Peter and John, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, and they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 4, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, verse 6, with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name do you do this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, verse 9, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Verse 11, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, a reference to the psalm, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. So you get this idea of the cornerstone and about the stone falling on somebody, because everybody is judged one way or the other in relationship to Jesus Christ, as we referred to in the early service. And then the last reference to this Psalm 118 is 1 Peter 2:7. 1 Peter 2:7. And it's right before 2 Peter, yes. For those who have not been through the adult information class, that's right before 2 Peter. Let's read again, put a little bit in the context at verse 1. So 1 Peter 2:1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 4, as you came to him a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. So there's a quote from Psalm 118. So those are the three references or explicit references to Psalm 118, 22 and 23. So watching the clock a little bit, let's move on to Proverbs. So if you go to Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And we're going to look at chapter 1. Now, you all know about Proverbs, but there's especially, and again, remember, we're not doing everything we can, but there's especially two chapters that get our attention. Proverbs, as we're also going to see about Ecclesiastes, is much about wisdom. And so when you, although there's not any explicit references in the New Testament, chapter 1 and chapter 8, it's kind of hard to miss Jesus Christ in these chapters. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit, just those two chapters. So let's go to Proverbs 1, and we're going to read verse 1 to verse 33 so you can see the context. But we really want to focus on the latter part. So here we go. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, with everything we've done thus far, you can already, although it's not explicit, you can already hear Christological connections here, can't you? Because about Solomon, we'll see that passage later. Jesus once said, one is here greater than Solomon. And, of course, son of David, we've talked about that messianic phrase. And, of course, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, so we're focusing really on wisdom, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Now, we can go on here without looking up any passages right now, though. But who was the wisest man who ever lived? Okay, class over. That's what happens when you sit up front. Now, I heard a wrong answer out there, too, besides that one. Who was the wisest man who ever lived? Jesus. And we'll see the passages, because he is wisdom in human form. So everything we hear about wisdom here has connections to Christ, whether it's explicit or not. And you can hear overtones of this. Verse 4, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Well, Jesus often spoke in what? Different word. Parables to communicate the wisdom that he had to bring. Okay. 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, true knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. I think most parents want to read this to their teenagers, don't they? I don't know if they do any good, but... Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us wait for his blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. 12, like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. 13, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. Okay, let's keep going. 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Now let's pause here, just to kind of interject a thought here from the New Testament. Did Jesus ever sin? So he never did any of these things, did he? Because he's what in human form? We say God in human form, but put it another way, he is, and we'll see the passages, we'll look up the passages momentarily, he is wisdom in human form, isn't he? So if he's the wisest man who ever lived, he's not going to sin either, is he? I mean, we know he's God, and that too, I'm doing a different angle of it. 17, for in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. 19, such are the ways of everyone who's greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Now, next verse 20 and on becomes even a little bit more explicit or clear, I think. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voices. Any bells and whistles going off in the Gospels? Who proclaimed out in the streets? Jesus, he was even in the marketplace. We won't look up the passages right now. 21, at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance to the city gate, she speaks out. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? By the way, the reason it's a female pronoun is because the Hebrew word is a female. Okay, it takes a female. That doesn't mean that wisdom is female, though. 32, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate their knowledge? 23, if you turn up my reproof, behold, I will pour my... John the baptizer and Jesus after the baptism come saying what? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is God, is at hand. And right, but baptism and forgiveness and you'll receive what? The Holy Spirit. I will make my words known to you. 24, because I have called you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and have none of my reproof. Let's go on to the New Testament, which we'll look up momentarily. The beginning of John's Gospel, he came to his own and his own received him not. As we'll see. 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, they will call upon you, but I will not answer. How is this fulfilled in the Gospels that Jesus prophesies? And we'll look it up. What, somebody said it. The destruction of Jerusalem. They reject wisdom that's found in Christ. There will be calamity. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. We can find that in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul's lengthy discourse on the Jews. 20, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. 30, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. 32, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without the dread of disaster. Now, I'm going to allude to another passage, and we're going to look some of these up that we've alluded to already. He who listens to me, etc., etc., two places a voice said something about listening to Jesus. Baptism, this is my beloved, listen to him. And what was the other one? Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, listen to him. Okay, let's ramble around a couple of Bible passages and look something. We're going to go to Proverbs 8 in just a minute. Let's see. Let's go to, no particular order here. Let's go to the one we alluded to. Let's go to John 1, 9 and 11. John 1, 9 and 11. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1. 9 to 11. For all the Lutherans out there, that's page 1777. Remember, you're in good company with the author of Hebrews. Somewhere it says, John 1, 9 to 11, the true light, and the word wisdom's not there, but can you hear wisdom in that? The true light? What does light do? It reveals, does it not? Which enlightens everyone has... was coming into the world, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. We'll hear that in chapter 8 of Proverbs, by the way. Yet the world did not know him. 13, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And it goes on from there. Let's go still in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37, I hope. And we could look up other passages, so these are kind of representative passages. John 7, 37. And remember about wisdom in Proverbs 1 being proclaimed from the streets and marketplaces. And this is just a representative passage. Verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, so Jesus is in the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus stood up and what? Cried out. Remember, he was preaching. For those that were in the early service, in Mark 1, 38, it says that he wanted to go to the other town so he could do what? For those who remember the reading from the early service. So he could preach. That's why he came, he said. So he went around preaching everywhere. By the way, the only reason he had to go out into the highways and byways, you know, out on the hillsides, anybody know? Yeah. Well, does anybody remember? Well, that's part of it. Without honor. Yeah, the crowds were so unwieldy and so out of control that he had to go out so that if you cause troubles out on the streets, who's going to show up? The police, among other things. So he went out on the hillsides out there, and then people started going out to him. That's a Reader's Digest version. Okay, let's look up, where do I want to go now? Let's go to, we won't look up the passages on baptism and the transfiguration. You know those. Let's look up Matthew 23. So let's go to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 23, I think 37, but let's see where we want to start. Matthew 23. Let's start at verse 29, a little bit of context of overtones of Proverbs 1, and then we'll finish out the rest of the chapter. This is Jesus speaking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous. Any overtones of Proverbs 1 there, remember? Nobody's listening, rejecting him. Verse 30 saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would have not have taken part in shedding blood of the prophets. By the way, that's what I hear from some people. And Sir Lancelot saying this in the musical Camelot. Well, if I had been in the Garden of Eden with Eve, we'd still be there, right? That's what these guys were saying. That's called self-righteousness, if you hadn't figured that out. 31, thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. 32, fill up then the measure of your fathers. 33, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how do you escape being sentenced to hell? 34, therefore I send you prophets and what? Wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, overtones of Proverbs chapter 1, and some of you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, 35, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. This is going to be the destruction of Jerusalem, overtones of Proverbs chapter 1, from the blood of the innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Bechariah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. 37, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, and let's go back to Proverbs 1, through what? The voice of wisdom. As a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. 38, see, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he, that's Jesus, who comes in the name of the Lord. So the language is Old Testament language and New Testament language, but the connections are certainly clear there. Let's see if I want to look up two more in Romans, then we're going to move on. Well, we'll see how we do here. Let's go to Romans. I think there's two to pick up overtones of Proverbs 1. Remember, as I've told you often, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is the single lengthiest discourse in the New Testament to help you understand the relationship of the Jews, especially the unbelieving Jews, with the Christian church. So first let's go to Romans 10:21, I think. Okay, let's see where I want to start. Let's start at verse 14. Kind of arbitrary sometimes where we start. Romans 10:14, and kind of remember the overtones of Proverbs chapter 1 about wisdom, wisdom being proclaimed, wisdom being rejected, and things like that. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's from Isaiah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Overtones of Proverbs chapter 1. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask you, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for, a quote, their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. 19, but I ask, did not Israel understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. A foolish nation, I will make you angry. Let's pause, make everybody get that. He would use the Gentiles to make his own people jealous. Okay? Because we Gentiles have the inheritance of Abraham, which unbelieving Jews don't have, right? It's to make them jealous. And that's right in the Old Testament already. 20, then Isaiah is bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. There's overtones of Proverbs chapter 1 there. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. 21, but of Israel he says, and this is verse 24 of Proverbs 1, we could find it, 124. All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. I had the voice. It's in Proverbs 1:24. He talks about reaching out his hand. You know, he wants to help, and they reject it. So, okay. And then the last one I think we'll make reference to, and then we might pause here before we move on. Let's go to Romans 11, about 7 and following, I think. You know, let's see. Let's start at verse 7, 11:7. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was what? Seeking, and that word seeking is found in Proverbs chapter 1. The elect obtain it, but the rest were hardened, as it's written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. By the way, that's in Matthew 13:2, the great parable chapter. I want to make sure you understand this. When we talk about the will of God, okay, and sometimes splitting hairs is helpful. When we talk about the will of God, we talk about His antecedent will and His consequent will. His antecedent will is what He wants from the beginning. Okay, His consequent will is what He wants after somebody does something, right? So according to His antecedent will, God wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, right? But the consequent will, if you reject that, that's not good. Okay? And so what I'm saying here, when it talks about hardening somebody, listen carefully, when it talks about God hardening somebody, God never hardens anybody in His antecedent will to begin with. But if you play around with God, jerk Him around, want to play hardball, then the consequent will of God, He can harden your heart. And the classic illustration of that is Pharaoh during the Exodus. You know, God didn't harden his heart till after several of the plagues. I think it was plague number 4 or something. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Because remember, in those days, the Pharaoh was seen as a god. So this was the god of the Egyptians against the god of slaves. Okay? And so Pharaoh stood up to him, the god of slaves. Come on, give me a break. Stands up to him, and then God finally says, okay, let's see who the true God here. Then he hardens his heart. So when it talks about hardening his heart here, I don't want anybody to get confused. He never hardens anybody's heart from the beginning. That's a consequence of somebody wanting to play hardball with God. Okay, but we see that again overtones in Proverbs as well. Okay, well let's stop there. It's about 5 or 10 after. Let's stop there. See if there's any loose ends or questions, because when we get into Ecclesiastes, believe it or not, even though there's no explicit references, the more I started digging, the more interesting it kind of got about how we find Christ even in Ecclesiastes. But before we get there, any comments, questions on what we've covered on the psalm and in... Oh, no, we didn't do Proverbs 8, did we? Oh, we got to do that. Let's do that real fast. Sorry. Now, Proverbs 8, we'll see how much we can get in. If we don't get it all in, we will pick it up again next week. So Job, Psalms, Proverbs. I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, now we're going to read this. We're especially going to pick it up later, but I want you to hear all of the chapter, and then we'll talk about it. Again, we may have to put some of this off till next week. We may only get partly through it, so probably that's what will happen. But let's read chapter 8. Does not what call? Wisdom. Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. For I will, hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is what? Right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are what? Righteous. Remember at the trial of Pontius Pilate, can you accuse me of doing or saying anything wrong? They couldn't find anything. They'd bring what to the court? False witnesses. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Verse 10, take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. 16, by me princes rule and nobles all who govern justify. 17, I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently find me. Seek and you will find. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and yield than choice silver. Verse 20, I walk in the way of righteousness and in the paths of justice. 21, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. Now let's start watching at verse 22. The Lord possessed me. What does the NIV say here, by the way? Anybody have an NIV? Verse 20? 22. Brought me forth. Yeah. The ESV has a tendency to use this Hebrew word and say, possess me. That's okay, but you get the point. The Lord possessed me. Now he's talking about wisdom, right? The Lord possessed me at the beginning of what? The beginning of his work, first of his acts of old, 23, ages ago I was set up, and at first, before the beginning of the earth, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We could go on from there. We'll come on from there. 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, and there was no springs abounding with water. 25, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. 26, before he made the earth with its field of its first and dust of the world. Keep going. 27, when he had established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. 28, when he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. 29, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, 30, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight. Ooh, I was daily his what? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Rejoicing before him always, 30, rejoicing in the inhabited world, delighting in the children of men, 32, and now, O sons, listen to me, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. 34, blessed is one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. 35, for whoever finds me finds what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and obtains what from the Lord? Favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Now, I've got a whole bunch of New Testament passages, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of time. So we're going to stop here. We'll pick this up again, and we're going to look at the New Testament and more explicit references about Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, let's pause there because it's getting a little bit long. What we're going to do, we'll pick up Proverbs chapter 8 again, and then we're going to go a little bit more. We've heard a couple of passages. We'll look up a few more New Testament passages, especially relating to Proverbs chapter 8, and then we'll move on from there. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.